Make me come back there. Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad.
Weird. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, it is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. Write it down, dial it into your phone, get ready to call in. We love to hear from our listeners. 855-915-WMFO, that's 855-915-9636. Find us online, facebook.com/bigpicture. WMFO. Lots of cool news stories found their way in there this past week.
Yeah.
So we may be referencing some of those later on in the broadcast.
We never, ever, it seems, to have a lack of stories.
Yes.
This past year.
There's always something good. Every single day you can find something.
I made a joke yesterday and I was saying, I'm like, to one of my friends, I just want a week where nothing happens. Yeah. Nothing crazy happens. And I got laughed in my face. So.
Yeah.
Thanks, Trump.
We're not getting that anytime soon, I don't think. I don't think we're going to see that probably for several months.
Yeah, the phrase slow news cycle is completely gone.
Yeah, it doesn't exist right now because the media is in a collective freakout. Well, not everyone in the media, but a lot of people in the media. And we will get to the bottom of some of that tonight, as we do every week, and let you know where the next snowstorm is coming because we love the snow.
Yeah, weren't we just saying we were lucky how we really haven't had that much snow? Enter in last Thursday's storm and then again on Monday. Sunday into Monday.
It took 4 days for my benevolence toward this winter to turn into seething rage.
Yeah.
It more or less rises with the screaming pain in my upper extremities from fighting with the snowblower.
Yes, but you have a snowblower. I do not.
You have a driveway the size of a postage stamp. You
don't
need one.
It's also on a complete incline, and I have a horrific tire situation happening.
Why don't you shovel downhill instead of uphill? That makes it a little easier.
And, like, my car just won't get up with the ice.
Okay, that means you have bad tires.
I have a new car.
With bad tires. I don't care how new the car is. That car is, you've had that car isn't that new, first of all.
A year.
It's more than
a year and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's more than a year. And it's, it's a Japanese car, right?
It is.
The all-weather radials they put on Japanese cars shouldn't be called all-weather radials. Mm-hmm. They should be called dry road, sunny day, no wind radials.
Yeah, the grooves in the tires are just formed by the tears of all the people making them.
They're not, no. So no, it's Japan. That's all right. No, but they're not designed for use in any kind of snow. Molly's got the same problem with her car.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's skidding all up and down the driveway. And I'm like, what? Get some new tires. And then she goes to her mechanic, and the guy's like, oh, no, these tires are fine. It's like, yeah, except that they won't drive in snow.
Yeah. I'm dealing. I'm I hope it's over. I'm waiting for spring and summer.
I got a Ford Fiesta. I actually went to work in the blizzard last Thursday, drove home at 8 o'clock
at
night.
Yeah, but your car is like my boyfriend's car. Like, they're both very small and quick and somehow.
That doesn't help you in the snow. It just, the car, like, I've got tires on the car that can actually deal with snow a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Makes a difference.
Well, I'll buy a Ford then next time.
Plus there's something to be said for being on the road, like being on Route 1 and nobody is on the road, and you can just sort of fishtail your way around. Oh, God, it's so much fun. So much fun, but probably completely illegal. Oh, well, what are you going to do? So what do we got going on in the world, Lisa Nichols?
Other than my bad tires, in local news, we learned one island is trying to take down a hospital giant. The Lahey Clinic is target of a federal lawsuit filed Tuesday by the government of Bermuda, which is accusing the Burlington Hospital of bribing the island's former leader in order to secure healthcare business there. The lawsuit, which ensnarls Lahey and Bermuda's ongoing political turmoil, assessed that the hospital and Owit Brown, a doctor at Bermuda's premier from 2006 to 2010, were part of a sweeping racketeering conspiracy that spanned 20 years and involved money laundering, mail fraud, and corruption. The suit alleges that in the return for bribes, they were disguised as consulting fees. Brown directed a huge share of the island's healthcare business to Lahey, including lucrative contracts to intercept thousands of MRIs and CT scans performed in two cities owned by Brown. At one point, the suit states that the fees totaled annually more than Brown earned as premier. As a result, the arrangement, according to the suit against Lahey, thousands of medically unnecessary scans were allegedly performed, making Bermuda among the highest users of MRI and CT scans in the world. The lawsuit did not provide direct evidence for either claim that scans numbered among the highest or were unneeded. Lahey has yet to review the lawsuit filed Tuesday, said any allegations improperly named the hospital. They are also baseless and without merit. So interesting. I mean, we're talking about an island that, what, max 55,000 people.
Yeah.
And it's recorded that possibly they have the highest number of CT scans and MRIs here in the United States. It's kind of crazy.
So you're bribing people to get some MRIs.
But when we're talking about, and I know that Lahey isn't up there with the Beth Israels and Brigham, but when we're talking about a possible merger coming along, they might be thinking twice about it, because what was it just announced a couple months ago when, who was it, Beth Israel wanted to merge with Lahey?
I have a feeling, call me crazy, but I have a feeling that if Lahey is doing this, everybody's doing this.
That's true.
I don't think this is in any way, shape, or form limited to Lahey.
No, but essentially, I mean, there's these things technically in the United States called the Stark Laws. It's a set of federal laws that prohibit physicians, self-referral, specifically a referral by a physician of Medicare or Medicaid to an entry providing with a different healthcare service. So this is illegal. Are more hospitals around the country doing it? Probably.
Of course. I guarantee you they are, and I guarantee you if you asked half of the doctors, they wouldn't even know that it was illegal. Although the scope of this one, this is the problem.
But it's interesting because I recently had a conversation with a doctor who's a neurologist and saying how many of these insurers will knock down points as you are rated as a doctor if you refer too many patients for an MRI or a CT scan or any of these things that maybe they consider unnecessary, which essentially really it is taking money out of the insurance company's pockets, which
yeah,
they don't like. So it's interesting to hear, which is, you know, that a lot of doctors are referring them to it when essentially they do get knocked down for doing so.
Well, I don't know that rule applies to Bermuda. That may not be.
But I mean, that there may be something that you don't even think about. But when we're talking about pretty much everybody in the island, you're saying that this happens across the country, but here in Massachusetts, we are taking all those people from Bermuda. Because what? Kickbacks and talking about possibly racketeering and money laundering?
I don't know if you go as far as RICO on something like this.
Yeah, but we're also not talking about just over the past few years. This is spanning a 20-year time.
Which just tells me that everybody's doing this. And this is, you know, I mean, it's not... Are you shocked?
I'm not completely shocked. I'm maybe shocked at the magnitude of how big it is.
Yes, that's the problem, is...
Because, of course, just like any industry, all these... things like this happen. It's an understood.
Here's the thing. I don't approve of this. This isn't the right way to do things, but if you're going to steal...
But if we're saying one hospital in Massachusetts is taking complete control over one island and kicking money back, and that's the only possibility that they have. So, I mean, is that now restricting where people can go? So you go to your doctor and say, you know, I have this problem. They say you have to have an MRI, but you have to go to Boston to do it. So now we're talking about the travel to Boston, where it will maybe be less of a financial burden.
Were they coming to Boston, or did Leahy have like clinics set up on the island?
No. This is having to come to Massachusetts.
So they're flying people up to Leahy from Bermuda.
Yeah, and I'm assuming it's people having to pay costs for themselves. There are hospitals in, like, they have things set up in Bermuda, but a lot of them are flying up here.
Yeah.
Whereas you can maybe go to, what, Florida, Georgia, anywhere on the lower coast.
It's pretty cheap to fly between Boston and Bermuda. I don't know that it's any more. It's probably more expensive to fly from Boston to Bermuda, but there's a lot of plane
traffic. But that's not the point. The point I'm trying to make is, are we, because of this, are they making restrictions for patients to have to now convince them that they can only get this done in Boston?
Right. Well, that's the argument against it. And that's where ethics and laws
and that's,
get breached. Mm-hmm. And that's
and
not
I mean, we
good.
Talk so much about, you know, abortion and what was happening in Texas and how they were trying to limit how many abortion clinics could stay open. And was it seemingly making it a travel burden for women to have to now travel, say, 24 hours to drive, you know, halfway across and back because they had to go to Nevada because that was the closest one.
Right. So, but the other argument that always comes up, especially with the abortion case in Texas, is the poor and the poor who can't afford to go do that. I don't think of Bermuda as being one of the wealthier nations on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some endemic poverty problems down there. So I don't know who even is flying up to Boston. You know, if you're poor, you're not doing that. Maybe they're just preying on the rich down there. The moral of the story is, if you're going to steal little. Because if you steal little, you get away with it. You steal big, you get caught.
Now, what do you think about the merger? Is it going to have any effect on it?
No, of course not.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Beth Israel being so...
No, look, I think some minor malfeasance
so
in Bermuda...
So big and prestigious.
Some minor malfeasance in Bermuda is not going to be enough to derail a merger between two major healthcare providers.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
There's probably larger malfeasance going on somewhere else that's being ignored in this whole thing.
Hmm.
Yeah. The world is not kind and nice and full of people that you wish it was. In national news, Democrats in Congress are demanding a wide investigation of ties between President Donald's campaign and Russian intelligence officials. But Republicans are so far reluctant to take up the cause. At issue were leaked documents that members of the campaign had regular contact with Russian intelligence officials during 2015 and 2016, and suggestions that the campaign may have colluded with Russian intelligence to hack Hillary Clinton's campaign and turn her staff emails over to WikiLeaks. Officials interviewed by the New York Times said they had found no evidence of collusion. Former The Donald campaign chair Paul Manafort, one of the staffers under investigation, told The Times, quote, "It's not like these people wear badges that say, I'm a Russian intelligence officer," end quote. So
some of these quotes that come out of Washington are pretty priceless.
So there's the story, and then there's the spin on the story with this one. And the story is that the FBI has been investigating communications that members of the Trump campaign staff had with people who are known Russian intelligence officials.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not those members of the Trump campaign staff knew they were talking to Russian intelligence officials is another matter entirely. Okay. Rex Tillerson had business deals in Russia. Michael Flynn had relationships with people in Russia. A number of people associated with Donald Trump have business dealings with Russia. So this may be nothing.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're talking about a lot of these people in Trump's close circle are people that have always been close to him or have had some sort of business deals with him. Understanding if you are at that level that Trump is in, and in many of his friends, you have international relations
now
with different people.
The nefarious between the lines spin on this story is that...
Is this a spin coming from mainstream media?
Yeah, this is a spin that's coming from the left-wing mainstream media. Is, well, because they were talking to each other, there must have been collusion. They told the Russians to hack Hillary Clinton, and they told the Russians to give that information to WikiLeaks. And the Russians hacked the election, and that's why Hillary lost.
But this is what we're trying to do post-election.
As we said last November, Russian hacking did not cause Hillary Clinton to lose that election. Okay?
This is what they're constantly trying to prove, and they're going to do it until it is completely... I don't know.
This is the biggest fake news story of all, okay? Because the Russians did not write any of those emails that Clinton's campaign staffers sent. The Russians did not conspire...
Yeah, but your mainstream media ignores all of that.
The Russians did not conspire to keep Bernie Sanders from winning the nomination. No, the mainstream media ignores that because it's convenient for them to ignore mm-hmm. that, okay?
Well, no, because they are so... have the spotlight on what they want to portray as their narrative, which is this whole thing, and everybody's jumping on the bandwagon and saying Trump and his friends, you know, have some sort of relations with Russia, and we worked together to get Hillary Clinton, not the presidency.
If you believe this story, that the Russians cost Hillary Clinton the election, I want you to find five people who you know who did not vote for Hillary Clinton because of WikiLeaks. Go find five people, because that's about what it's going to take to prove your case. You and everyone you know has to go find five people, not the same five people, but five different people who did not vote for Hillary Clinton because of what was published on WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some Bernie supporters who didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, but they weren't going to vote for Hillary Clinton anyway. A lot of them went and voted for Jill Stein, which is how she got 1% of the vote. You know, loyal Democrats went over and voted for Hillary. Because if you were opposed to Donald Trump, you're going to vote for Hillary no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
This had no bearing whatsoever on the outcome of the election. But because the Democrats, you know, because they're on the side of likeness and right and good, they couldn't have possibly lost the election legitimately. It's the Russians. So this is all more of this nonsense. And again,
like I say, it's going to continue.
And somebody else yesterday...
And they're going to exhaust every single avenue to attempt to prove it.
Somebody else yesterday was bringing up the point, well, you know, some of the things in that memo about Donald Trump, you remember the intelligence memo that said the Russians had a videotape of him hiring hookers to urinate on a bed in the Moscow Hilton.
Golden showers.
somebody yesterday was saying, well, some of those allegations have been proven to be true. And it turns out the allegations that were proven to be true were allegations about Russian officials talking to other Russian officials.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about any Americans. Nobody in the FBI has said that the Trump campaign was colluding with the Russians. There are normal reasons, because of business dealings and political dealings, why people involved in the Trump campaign would be talking to Russia. And guess what? People in the Clinton campaign were talking to Russian intelligence officials, too. These are things that happen normally in the course of a presidential campaign.
Mm-hmm. No, with the chance that you do get the presidency, you're setting yourself up to have international relations. This happens every single election. This happens with every single president. But no, because this narrative has been started since the beginning of Trump named himself to be running for president, there's been scandal. It's always going to be scandal, and it's never going to stop.
It'll stop eventually.
And it's interesting.
It'll stop because it has to stop, because the media can't possibly keep up this pace.
No, but it's so interesting when you see Trump today in his press conference and talking about, and everybody's mocking him and kind of, you know, honing down on the point that he made of saying, we have the media here, the media that writes fake news and non-stories. People laughing at that is crazy, because it's true.
Yeah.
Like, it actually is true. What you just said was, this is a non-story, and it is. Because these are made up. These are trying to put accusations where they don't belong.
Well, here's the thing. If the allegation is that Trump and the Russians somehow conspired to rig the election and put Donald Trump in the White House, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. We can't have that. And he's got to go. Okay? There is no evidence of that. And until the FBI comes out and puts some evidence on the table.
But that's what until it is. Somebody continually, says, time after time,
these are
you have
these...
the FBI coming out and saying, we don't have any evidence. But then it turns around 2 days later, and your whole entire news cycle is saying how, oh, we have evidence. Oh, CNN, you have evidence. MSNBC, you have evidence. The Today Show, Matt Lauer's, like, it's crazy.
They have nothing. They have nothing. The only ones that the American people should be listening to on this are the FBI, okay? They have the documents. They're not going to talk about it until their investigation is done.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else that's going on around this is just pure speculation and a waste of everybody's time. Trust me, if Russia installed a United States president, that president will be deinstalled. But it will, that president will not be replaced with Hillary Clinton. Because I'm convinced you could run a diseased two-legged goat against Hillary Clinton, and the goat is going to win. That's how damaged Hillary Clinton is.
I would believe that.
Not because of the Russian hacking, but because of what she herself and the people around her have done and said.
Mm-hmm.
They're bad people.
Oh, but when all of those emails came out from Podesta and so on, you know, that didn't mean anything. That's
no, no. You remember the fallbacks on that. These are the cries of the left. They were edited. Was one of them. They were edited, mm-hmm. which they weren't. They were published verbatim, and those were stolen. So we're not going to talk about those.
You know, when people are saying, oh, well, they're just interns talking inside the camp and they don't really, you know, they don't get paid. They don't know what they're doing. These are seasoned,
yeah,
very, very seasoned people within elections, within the campaign that have been by her side for the entire process of it and even longer than that. So if you think one person is corrupt, and it wasn't. It wasn't you had one bad apple in the orchard. Like, it was a whole entire group.
Everybody.
It was a corporate culture that started at Hillary Clinton and faded down.
Podesta,
and I mean, I think you're ignorant if you believe otherwise.
Podesta to Debbie Wasserman Schultz and everybody in between. So here's what you've got, folks. This is these are your options, okay? You can either believe unfounded allegations that the Trump administration colluded with the Russians to win the election, or you can go look at Hillary's emails and see how the Democrats colluded to try and win the election.
Which is proven.
All the facts are there for you to enjoy, mm-hmm. at your leisure. WikiLeaks.com. You can find everything that you need to know. It's right there. It's online. It's all been verified by third parties.
And that's what I hate. So many people... shame on WikiLeaks for doing that. And the only thing that WikiLeaks, which I don't think that they should be celebrated, but in a sense of they showed what that campaign and entire Hillary train was all about.
Well, they showed America who America had to vote for.
They didn't edit anything. No. They didn't write anything. They just laid it out for you in a nice little dossier.
Yeah, Hillary's little inner circle got caught as the bad people that they are. With the bad attitudes that they have and the hubris.
But these same people in the media that are saying that these were edited, these were written, they're completely false, are the ones that are now pushing this story.
Yeah.
That are using their editing.
Which is just rank hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm. Of course it is.
It's absolutely rank hypocrisy. And if you don't...
Unprofessionalism, I mean, you can go on.
Anybody who comes to you and says, well, a Trump thing, you bring up the Hillary thing. And if they say, well, that doesn't matter, you stop talking to them. Because that's not a rational person. That's not somebody who's living in the real world. That's not somebody who is treating facts equally. And the truth with Trump is, we don't have any facts right now.
Unfortunately, so many of these people have, you know, their earplugs in and they just listen to their own... what they believe is correct.
We've got
And unfortunately, then you go on things like social media and Facebook because you want to feel that inclusion.
Yeah.
With all the other screaming children behind the computer. And you get validity to false statements.
Here's the Washington Post, which has become a joke in the last 2 months, and it's sad to see that happen to a major American newspaper. But we've got Rex Tillerson talking to the Russians. Rex Tillerson was talking to the Russian foreign minister, and he was talking to all these other Russian people. Yeah, because he was the president of Exxon, and they were drilling in Russia. And they signed contracts with Russia. Yes, shocker, Rex Tillerson talks to the Russians. And maybe some of those people are intelligence officials. This is where Manafort...
But please, but
this
Derek,
is where Manafort
tell me.
Comes out and he's like, what it's is not wrong like with they're that? Wearing name tags.
What is wrong with that? Is that a crime? Is it a crime
no.
to...
No, there is no crime in talking.
Why are we trying to make this all into a crime?
Because Russia. Because we're supposed to be afraid of Russia. Why aren't you afraid of Russia? You should be afraid of Russia. Be afraid of Russia. The Democrats have been screaming, and the mainstream media has been screaming, be afraid of Russia for 3 months now. You know what you should be afraid of? I'm going to be perfectly honest with everybody here. You know what you should be afraid of? You should be afraid of nuclear weapons, because the only thing that we have on this planet that can destroy everybody is nuclear weapons. And you know who has the most nuclear weapons? Russia. And you know who has the second most nuclear weapons? The United States of America, which means there are only two countries on this planet that could destroy this planet. And we would be far better off if those two countries would start talking to each other and reducing the number of nuclear weapons, instead of having the media hype up all of this frenzy about how the Russians are our enemies and we can't trust them and we need to stay away from them and we should never talk to them.
Of course. That's great. That is crazy talk, thinking that you are going to be friends with the Russians. We are going to now have diplomatic ties to them. We are going to have international relations.
What the media is advocating in all of their fear of Russia, and let's hate Russia, and let's be afraid of Russia, and let's condemn Russia, and let's do this and the other thing to Russia. What they are advocating inevitably leads to nuclear conflict between our countries. That's what they're all saying. That's what be afraid of Russia ends in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many years were we in the Cold War?
Because guess
Remind
what?
Me.
Guess what?
It was a long time.
Russia's afraid of us. Russia's terrified of us. Mm-hmm.
But no, again, we're talking about portrayal in media, but that's not what they're saying. They're painting Putin up on this very, very big pedestal and thinking that he has his foot on top of the United States.
Listen, Putin's a bad...
Which is...
Let's be honest about this. Putin's...
Completely unrealistic...
Putin's a bad
perception.
Guy. Putin's done some things that...
Of course. And I'm not going to sit here and
okay.
defend him.
This isn't the Vladimir Putin love hour over here on WMFO Medford. There are problems with Putin. But you know what? There are problems with every other international leader that we deal with. There are problems with half of the people that we send to Washington, D.C. Maybe not on the scale of Putin, but, you know, Putin's a little more singular in the way that he does things. The only way out of the threat of nuclear war is for Russia and the United States to sit down and negotiate a treaty and say, we're not going to do this anymore. We've had enough. Okay? We don't need to kill each other. We can keep spying on each other. We can keep playing tag with our jets and our battleships and everything else. We're not going to have nuclear conflict.
And I think that that situation never would have happened in previous administrations. And I believe that Trump is the person for that to happen.
The Russians are sitting there, because I read Russian media every now and again. The Russians are sitting there saying, what the hell is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did we do? Why does America hate us all of a sudden? That's what the Russians are saying, because that's all that's coming out of our news media right now, as well as our enablers over at the BBC and the CBC, which is like, Russia bad, Trump bad, hate Russia, fear Russia. And the Russians are sitting around, they're like, what the heck? What do we do? And part of the reason that the Russians are rolling out a cruise missile that they're not supposed to have, and part of the reason they got the spy ship sitting off the coast of Connecticut is because we have a new president, and this is how the Russians welcome a new president. How much can we poke this guy before we get a reaction out of him? And so far, Donald Trump is doing the same thing that every other president has done and sat back and said, you guys do what you're going to do. You're not going to provoke us. If you do something that really violates any treaties, we're going to have a conversation about that.
Mm-hmm.
That spy ship was sitting there 8 years ago when Barack Obama came in. It was like, oh, let's go see. And part of the reason the spy ship is there. But
everybody forgets what has happened in last administrations.
Yeah. Well, it's
that a lot that does take place and has taken place in the past, almost a month that Donald Trump has been
it's because
in the White House.
Because most people have a 2 second internet attention span.
Like, there's a thing called history. A lot of this things that are happening have already happened.
But the thing that's even...
But no. All of this is happening just because it is Trump. And everybody in the world hates us. And everybody's against us because of him. It's all because of him. And he's going to ruin America. I mean, that's crazy. Like, that is crazy talk. And it is so insane to me when I try to have an intellectual conversation with somebody. And they try to portray that, vision.
With respect to the dipstick millennials who are running their mouths online constantly and ginning up a lot of this. I lived through the Cold War. I remember the Cold War, okay? The Cold War was far more dangerous than anything that we're dealing with right now. Because the difference between now and then is there were no business ties between Russia and the United States. There were no political ties between Russia and the United States. Russia and the United States looked at each other with mutual suspicion and hostility constantly. And we nearly went to nuclear war several times because of that situation. So why is our media, which is constantly touting its progressive agenda, and let's move forward and let's be all 21st century, let the transgender whales marry, why are they suddenly advocating for a return to the Cold War? That is what the New York Times is pushing on its front page. That is what CNN is pushing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Fear Russia, hate Russia, stay away from Russia. They want to take us back into the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How much is George Soros paying you? I don't know if that's the case. I know George Soros is paying some of these activists. But why would you want that? How can you fail to understand?
And there are a few good reporters that are still out there that are not pushing this whole rhetoric. But it's almost like a bandwagon. It's like, well, all your CNNs are talking about it. Your New York Post, your New York Times, your Washington Post, your LA Times. They must be onto something. So let's all write about the same thing. It's like, look, they're doing it, so we can do it.
There is nothing wrong with having a good relationship with Russia. This is something that Americans should want, because they are the only country on this planet that can annihilate us.
But please, Derek, imagine if some of the logical conversations that we actually do have, CNN reported on that. And you have Jake Tapper coming out and saying, why is mainstream media doing this?
CNN.
One, it would be all over every single network saying how he's lost his mind and has gone rogue. And he would be fired.
CNN is in the fear and hysteria business because it keeps eyeballs glued to their channel. And it keeps clicks coming to their website. Same thing for the New York Times. They're in the fear and hysteria business. They're not in the news business anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the fear and hysteria business. And they're looking at things daily and they're saying, oh, when we tell people to be scared, more people read our paper.
So let's tell people to be scared again tomorrow. That's why their popularity has grown, because now with news being filtered on Facebook, that's where people are going, unfortunately, to find their news. The CNNs are getting bumped up. The New York Times are getting bumped up. So you're talking about these clicks. When that is all you are being surrounded by, a logical person that doesn't think can look outside of that. But for the average person, they're seeing all this and going, okay, and not using their brain.
All that they are doing is ginning up paranoia that ends badly. It ends badly. We need to have a relationship with Russia. The better the relationship we have with Russia, the safer the world is. Because, as I said, there are only two countries on this planet that could annihilate the world with nuclear weapons. China's got nukes, all right? China doesn't have enough nukes, so far as everybody knows, to wipe out the planet. Russia and the United States do, several times over. So we should be finding ways to get along with Russia. And if the president is saying, let's try and have a better relationship with Russia, Let's have a better relationship with Russia, because he understands something fundamental that every American should understand fundamentally, that your greatest threat is the enemy that can wipe you off the face of the planet. That's Russia. And the way that you combat your greatest threat is you find areas of cooperation. And there's still plenty of it going on behind the scenes.
Of course.
There has been for decades now. Russia doesn't want to drop bombs on us any more than we want to drop bombs on them.
Russia, crazy talk, Derek.
Yeah, boy, that's, oh, man. How am I going to sell the New York Times if everybody isn't afraid? In world news, Russia, oh, God. Russia made its stance on Crimea clear today as Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova told reporters, quote, "We're not returning our territory. Crimea is part of the Russian Federation," end quote. The statement came just one day ahead of a planned meeting between Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson at the G20 meetings in Germany. Russia's 24 annexation of Crimea has been condemned in Europe and led to a round of sanctions against Russian government officials and business owners. President Donald has sent mixed messages on Crimea during the campaign. The Donald said he would not intervene in Crimea without an invitation from Europe. But since taking office, he has said that he expects the Russians to leave the region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Trump had actually not raised the Crimean issue to Putin until that January 28th phone call. And, you know, the Kremlin said that they would try to make contacts with Trump to improve ties and talk about what's going on. So it's interesting today. It comes out and Foreign Ministry says, we're not giving it back. Now, before the show, I had
they're
asked
not giving,
you because...
Russia's not giving Crimea back.
I remember covering Crimea and the annexation on the show, but I had you refresh my mind on how that originally took place, where it was in Russian control, and after World War II, they found no really interest in that area or no need for it because it is deep sea waters in the Black Sea. It is a huge port. They give it back to Ukraine.
Between the Russian Revolution, World War One, and the start of World War Two, Russia basically drove all of the native Ukrainians, the actual ethnic Ukrainians, out of Ukraine and replaced them with Russian citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that to act as a bulwark against German and European aggression. After World War Two, they gave Crimea back to Ukraine, but Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union, so it didn't matter. They just had somebody else running the thing, and Russia's military was in charge of everything. After the Soviet Union broke up, now you have this vulnerability because Crimea is one of the few deep water ports on the Black Sea. So Russia does not like the idea that Germans are going to come across the Black Sea and find a beachhead that they can start mm-hmm. pouring into Russia.
Well, I remember when that first happened with the Crimea, we were saying, how far is, you talk about Russia poking the bear with the United States, we were kind of saying, how far is Russia going to poke the bear to Europe?
Yeah.
And how far could they push their troops into different countries within Eastern Europe and try to take over control? Was that their plan? Was that their final idea of what they wanted to do?
Well, there are those who believe that Putin is trying to rebuild the Soviet Union. And that he will take over Crimea and he'll take over, you know, all of these other countries, that Estonia and all these other places that have broken off. Nobody knows whether or not that's part of his long-term plan. Strategically, you can understand why they want Crimea. And part of the reason that there was pressure put on Russia in January is because, you know, what has essentially been a lot of small skirmishes and sniping at each other was starting to turn into a hot war in Ukraine. And the international community was basically sticking their nose in and saying, back off. Both sides need to back off and calm down because this is going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Things seem to have calmed down a little bit since
I was going to say, when really did they stop? Because there were times there were like serious, battles going on, but you were having the Russians coming in and trying to push that line a little bit more.
There's still some of this stuff going on.
You have this mishmash of Ukraine troops that were trying to combat that.
Russia sends a couple of jeeps full of soldiers into a village, and some Ukrainians come down and shoot at them, and the Russians shoot back, and then the Russians go home, and the Ukrainians go home, and that's your war for the day.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually starting to escalate, and it was in January, it was starting to get to a point where more Russian troops were coming in, and more Ukrainian troops were starting to mass, and everybody was like, please, not now. Please, just go your separate ways. We'll deal with this later. And everybody's more or less backed off for the moment. We'll see what happens.
Hmm. Well, today in sports news, we learned the NBA doesn't like mean tweets. As much as the NBA embraces social media, it appears as though it has reached a breaking point when it comes to how much freedom its teams and players should have. The league looks to clamp down on what is the league deputy commissioner calls Twitter wars. According to ESPN's Tim McMahon, the NBA sent a memo to all 30 teams on Monday, warning them about, quote, inappropriate use on social media, end quote, and how it can damage a reputation of the NBA and team and its players. The league flagged disparaging, mimicking, belittling, embarrassing, and impersonating opponents and officials as inappropriate material, as well as criticizing officials of the NBA program in an effort to prevent future controversy. Quote, we want teams to be aware of the NBA's new rules with respect to use social media by teams. As in-game entertainment, teams are prohibited from mocking and or ridiculing opponents, including teams, players, teams, personnel, including owners, and opponents' home cities, and game officials on social media in any form, including through statements, pictures, and videos, end quote. The incident that may have cited the promotion of the league to take action, prompting of the league to take action, is when Portland Trail Blazers mocked Memphis Grizzlies forward Chandler Parsons for airballing a three-pointer attempt in their matchup in January. Parsons responded by wishing the Trailblazers good luck in the lottery show after the game, which prompted Trailblazers guard CJ McCollum to tweet, we hit the lottery by not signing you. So, this is, it's kind of a ridiculous story and a fun story, but it's interesting when you get to the point where an entire league needs to now send a memo to every single person or every single team that then relays it to, you know, back of the house, all of your players, any personnel associated with the team. Stop sending mean tweets. You know, it's really hurting everybody.
It's
hurting your feelings.
Is this going to get Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal to calm down? Or are they exempt from this?
Yeah, I guess if you're retired, it doesn't matter.
If anything's going to blow up on Twitter, assuming they don't punch each other out on the show.
But I absolutely agree, and obviously it's free speech, but understanding that you are a player and you represent your team, it's the same thing when we were having conversations about Kaepernick, you know, kneeling during, and I opposed to that because I thought he represented the team and that was not right.
Yeah.
I think that your maybe social media persona is only escalated as your...
What we really need to do is ban Twitter. Okay, just shut down Twitter. Like, someone go find the server and beat it to a pulp with a sledgehammer, and then all these problems are gone. But the bigger problem is, particularly for these young showboating glory boy athletes, everybody's out building their personal brand.
Well, of course.
I got to build my personal brand. I got to be on Instagram all day long. I got to be tweeting all day long. No, you know where you need to be? Practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You either need to be on the court shooting threes, or you need to be in the film room.
No, I absolutely
agree. Or you need to be at batting practice, or you need to be shooting the puck. Get off of the damn social media. Let what you do in the game.
And you can't compare it to anything that happened in the past, because obviously we didn't have social media in the times of Larry Bird and Parrish and all of that. But I completely agree with you on that. And it's true. What these people are doing are trying to promote themselves as a brand, not just a player. And I think that detracts, because there are many great, great players that are not on Twitter, that are not on or promoting themselves or sending mean tweets or saying like, oh, you know, we're lucky we didn't get you on our team. Isn't that a distraction? Oh. And as a coach, you should say, cut the crap. What are you doing?
Odell Beckham Jr., here I am partying on the boat after we won the playoff game. Odell Beckham Jr., here I am walking around Green Bay shirtless before the playoff game. Odell Beckham Jr., on the golf course right now.
Because essentially, though, what does that do? In understanding the world of social media right now, it gets more attention.
That's it.
It's promoted on not only now sports media, but it's picked up from your mainstream media.
This is the thing. And it's like this stuff goes...
You are getting clicks. You are getting likes. You are creating what you believe are fans that actually have no common sense of NBA or, you know, the rules or anything. And that's what you have the privilege of doing. You have the privilege of being an athlete in the NBA. That is your job. Your job wasn't to be hired and to promote yourself or to send these tweets.
I liked it better when we never heard a damn thing about these players off the field. I really, those were better days, and trust me, sports was better. Because you weren't constantly reading about, oh, you know, where did he go clubbing last night, and who's at the strip joint tonight, and, you know, who got stabbed? Because that's where all of this inevitably goes. I'll tell you, the other thing that's driving me nuts is if I go to a Patriots game and hear another guy yell, TB12, I'm going to punch him, all right? Because the guy, stop with the branding. I hate that Tom Brady does it. There's JE11 now for Julian Edelman.
That's different.
And no, it's not different.
No.
It's stupid and enough.
We've disagreed on the types of branding and trying to promote yourself as a brand. Say if we're talking about college, and remember, UConn player Shabazz.
Yeah.
And there's so many.
Shabazz was a pioneer in all of this.
Yes.
Poor Shabazz wasn't getting enough to eat. Remember that?
But
Shabazz was starving to death.
Yeah.
He was a big boy. They were cutting down. Mm-hmm. They closed the cafeteria before he could eat everything.
And Jameis Winston. So many of these players that recently have come out of playing football or playing
didn't he
NCAA
steal some lobsters, Jameis Winston?
Those king crabs from the Publix.
It was king crab and lobster, I think.
I do agree with promoting yourself as a brand. In a good way.
Why?
Because you have to understand or try to lock in on financial security once you complete your...
That's not your job when you're playing. Your job when you're playing is to be the best player that you can possibly
be.
No,
but I also believe that there are times to do it. So in off-season, yes, off-season doesn't mean that you're going to... You know, the horse races and take Molly and dancing on top of the tables like Wes Welker. That's not what you do in the off season. But if you want to promote your brand as TB12, then go ahead and do
it. Just the off season. If he wants to go do Molly and watch a horse race, he's welcome to do that.
I believe that you were against that.
What?
When he did that.
I had no problem with that. It's his personal time. And Roger Goodell sent a spy down there to keep an eye on all the Patriots anyway.
Well, in entertainment news, we learned Naked is better. After 1 year, Playboy is bringing back nude photographs to its magazine. Cooper Hefner, the son of magazine founder Hugh Hefner, announced the move on Twitter Monday, saying, quote, "I will be the first to admit that the way in which a magazine portrayed nudity was dated, but removing it entirely was a mistake," end quote. Playboy published its first non-nude issue in March 2016, and prior to that had launched a Sale for Work Playboy Now app. But the latest March-April 2017 issue, available on Playboy.com and newsstands on February 28th, brings back...
Boobs. Boobs. It's got boobs in it, kids. Boobs.
The new issue will include pictorials from March Playmate Elizabeth Ellum, who graces a cover, and April Playmate Nina Danielle. In the magazine, a Playboy interview with Scarlett Johansson, a profile of CNN political commentator Van Jones,
boobs.
And an article in hip-hop duo Run the Jewels.
Do they show their boobs?
Those are guys.
I want to see Van Jones' boobs.
Yeah. Before coming the magazine's creative officer last year, Hefner ran his own media company, HOB, Hefner Operations and Productions, which became part of Playboy Enterprises.
House of Boobs. Yeah. Is that what HOB is? House of Boobs.
Of course it is. We actually covered the story when they eliminated it. And
no more boobs.
You're saying, you know, because gone are the times, and we have a mutual friend. We will not name him, but he...
I might. Who are we talking about?
Prides himself on his Playboy collection. Has pretty much every... And I mean, it's...
Yeah,
I
but think, he's got all the vintage ones. He's got the ones that are valuable.
That's somebody, or some people collect those types of things. And we were seeing year after year, and, you know, the stocks going down, and people weren't buying them as much because people were going online. You can go on Pornhub and see boobs all day.
Boobs.
You don't have to flip through pages. You don't have to do anything.
There's boobs on the internet?
Yeah, for free.
Since when?
You don't need a subscription.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'm
shocked. That embarrassing moment when you need to go in the newsstand and you have to ask for the magazines behind the counter. What do you think? Good move, bad move?
There used to be a convenience store around the corner from my apartment that had an entire rack right inside the door on top of the ice cream case of like the filthiest porno magazines
with no bar across them.
And we're talking about stuff like, you know, Granny Wants It, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was like really out there, like, you know, Fisting Monthly, and it was like, oh my god, what the heck is this? Won't somebody,
your mother's like, Derek, what are you doing? You're like, I'm trying to get a goddamn humor bar.
Yeah, no, this is when I was in college, so it was like there weren't any kids in the neighborhood really. Yeah. And it's like the kids are walking in there like ice cream. They're not looking at what's up above the ice cream. Mm-hmm. All the guys are walking in there like, yeah, oh, what's this? Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a good move. You have to go back to the original.
But let me tell you how this decision was made. You know, they get rid of the boobs, right? I imagine they're sitting in a board of directors meeting like a month ago. They're like, how were sales last year? Down by 90%. Bring back the boobs.
Interesting.
Because the reality is everybody's magazine sales are down.
Well, we kind of scratched our head when they initially made the announcement that they were going to take away all the nudity and say, is this really going to propel them into this, you know, men's magazine type? Like your...
I think the argument that was being made was we could be GQ if we just get rid of the boobs.
Mm-hmm. And have these really hard-hitting interviews.
I don't think the boobs stopped anybody from buying the magazine when it had a really good interview in it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had a month with weak content, you could throw some celebrity boobs in there and sell a few. So, you know, please, let the boobies run free, is what I say to that. In technology news, Yahoo has issued another warning to its users about data breaches in 2015 and 2016. The latest warning says that a forged cookie may have been used to access accounts. This tactic allows hackers to access accounts without entering passwords. Yahoo blamed it on what it called a state-sponsored actor for the attacks, but did not say how many users were affected.
I hate to say I looked at the story today and
I'm not one of them.
Scanned it very, very quickly and I saw Yahoo and Cookie and I was like, yeah. Yahoo's making cookies? What's going on? And then reading, it got more frightening and realizing that this is something that has been going on and on for what, the past couple of years? And every time we hear it's a higher number that possible accounts were breached and hacked into. I feel like now if you have a Yahoo account, you have to be changing your password every day.
If you have a Yahoo account, other than to use it for a spam repository or because there's no way to get rid of it, I don't know why. Because they have proven themselves to be completely incompetent when it comes to security. This is industrial strength and competence on the part of the Yahoo people. Because this is a tactic, forced cookies should not allow anybody into a back end. And the way it works is you can set a cookie that will automatically log you in because it recognizes the machine that you're on. So a hacker gets at a cookie, changes the data, says, hey, it's me, I'm logged in, mm-hmm. Sticks it on their computer, and they can get in. They don't even need to know your password.
And especially with email now, we're not talking about just casual conversations between work people and family members sending photos. Yeah. Think about how many accounts that you have online and how many accounts that contain your address, your phone number, your social security number.
Oh, Yahoo already gave all those away to the hackers.
Your bank account numbers, your prescriptions from CVS. It goes on and on. And you taught me a couple of years ago when we were first mentioning this that, yes, I now have a Yahoo account. And for the majority, anything that's sent on it is all... kind of just crap stuff.
Yeah.
Important stuff and Hotmail.
Yahoo is where I forward all the spam that I have absolutely no use for. Yeah. So they're more than welcome to my Yahoo password. Enjoy. I'm sure you'll love hearing from Pottery Barn five times a day.
No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Snow.
Since my
snow. Snow! More snow.
I want that word banned.
Depending on where you are tonight, kids. More snow. Yay. Here's the deal. Temperatures are going to fall below freezing tonight. Depending on where you are, you may wake up to anywhere from 1 to 6 inches of snow tomorrow morning.
Oh, good.
If you're in the Boston area southward, there is a very low chance that you're going to wake up to 1 to 6 inches of snow. You might wake up to 1 to 3. If you are between Boston and the New Hampshire border, you could wake up to 1 to 4, particularly if you're closer to the coast. If you're in Essex County, you're probably going to get somewhere between 1 and 4 inches. If you are north of that, you're going to get somewhere between 3 and 6 inches tonight. There is a storm out in the Gulf of Maine that is throwing snow around. Maybe you get some, maybe you don't. Nobody knows. Temperatures below freezing tonight. Tomorrow, any snow showers still in the area will clear off after the morning commute. Never before, always after. Temperatures in the mid-30s. Temperatures fall back into the mid-20s tomorrow night. Friday, sunshine, no snow. Highs in the mid-30s. Temperatures in the mid-20s Friday night. Saturday, partly cloudy. It's going to be a warm day, comparatively speaking, on Saturday. Highs in the mid-40s. And we stay above freezing. Highs in the mid-30s Saturday night. And then on Sunday, it's going to be tropical. Just under 50 degrees on Sunday.
See how I light up when you say that?
But then the temperatures fall into the low 30s on Sunday night. So don't get used to that. So there you go. Snow, maybe. Who knows? No major, I mean,
I would hope that, no.
There are no massive blizzards coming. So that's the question, is whether or not you get plowable snow. By the way, if you were on the roads tonight, especially after 11 o'clock at night, beware of icing. Temperatures will be dropping below freezing. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week here on WMFO Medford?
Red light, stop. Green light, go. Every symbol has a meaning. Even those symbols on the meat sold in your grocery store. I'm Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist, U.S. Department of Agriculture. The purple shield with the letters USDA and the word prime, choice, or good is your sign of quality. Quality that's been checked by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Prime means it's the top grade and usually the most expensive. Choice, the grade you'll see in most stores, is also very high in quality. If the meat has been graded for quality, you'll know that it has also passed a strict inspection for wholesomeness. You'll see the symbol for wholesomeness, a round purple inspection mark, on wholesale cuts of meat and packaged meat products. For more information on buying meat, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Welcome back to WMFO. This is The Big Picture and also the show where Derek tries to kick my voice off every week.
No.
I am Lisa Nichols here with, again, Derek Gary. We are here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. As always, we want you to be a part of the show. You do that by giving us a call at 855-915-9636. Again, that's 855-915-WMFO. Of course, it's time for Did You Hear? The part of the show where we give you you know, more stories about the news, but Derek and I quiz each other to just prove who's better and who paid more attention. So as always, I will start, and I will give you Michael Therrien.
Michael Therrien is it's got to be the hardest luck individual in the National Hockey League. For the second time, he was fired by the Montreal Canadiens so that they could hire Claude Julien to be their head coach. Really, somebody sent Michael Therrien like a bouquet of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Sent him an inedible arrangement. Like,
which I'm like,
someone go track him down.